I want to go ahead and read our passage, Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it, with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I want to pray when we start here, but I just want to acknowledge off the top of the here and pray for what's going on over the Middle East. And there's a lot of serious global conflicts that have been happening, since a long time. And Russia, Ukraine, major Israel, and Iran, and then of course we heard news yesterday the United States got involved in some way, and there might be different feelings on that. From a policy standpoint, from a theoretical standpoint, but scary. And I want to just pray, there's thinking about all the decision makers, wisdom, the unity of our nation that's at odds in so many ways, that doesn't help any of that, I'm sure. And then, of course, my understanding is there are a lot of Christians in Iran. The church in Iran is very healthy. And that can't be easy. Added on top of all this. We know in history that great powers have used the church to cover up their own problems, thinking about Nero. But God superintends and works through all those things. And God has continued to forward his mission. So let's pray. Our God in heaven, we just thank you for your word, the opportunity to pause and to study it and to dive deeper into it, to know what you have for us, Lord. And God, we just want to lift up to you the conflict that's happening right now on the other side of the planet, Lord, but it does touch all of us. And we ask that, Lord, that you would bring peace, the real peace that you offer through the cross. Lord, I want to particularly lift up, first of all the decision makers in the Washington, D.C., Lord, that you would give them wisdom and direction, Lord, that they would submit themselves to your ways, that they would put their trust fully in you as they make decisions, Lord, that they would set aside political ambition and do what's best for the country and best for everyone that they're responsible for. Lord, I lift up in particular to your church all around the world, in particular the church that's in the Middle East. I'm thinking about all the churches that are in little groups of people that acknowledge and know you, Lord, that are your light in those communities. Lord, we pray that you would just, as the darkness closes more and more in, that the light would become brighter and brighter, and that there would be absolute total revival and change from the bottom up in the nation of Iran. Lord, you are over all those things. We pray that you would work in that way. And we pray the same thing over the entire region, Lord. So much bloodshed and hatred and anger and evil. Lord, so much opposition to your ways and your kingdom. And Lord, so I just pray you just enable and empower your church, God, and that there would truly be peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we think about those kinds of conflicts that are top of mind for us because of current events, to me it brings to mind as well the ultimate conflict that's happening from a spiritual standpoint. There has been, since the fruit was taken and God was disobeyed in the garden, there has been two conflicting kingdoms for a long, long time. And that is a spiritual battle that is happening behind the scenes, oftentimes out of sight, but it is the ultimate battle. Why is there conflict happening? It's the sin and passions of in the hearts of human beings that creates the conflict that we see in our day-to-day world. Again, whether it's between toddlers or between nations, it's sin in the heart of man. And God is at work. And as I prayed earlier, God has been at work to invade this kingdom that he doesn't rule. Actually, it's ruled by another right now, to invade this kingdom. And it's I always think about it as a slow motion, peaceful invasion where people are invited to join in his kingdom, to stop serving the kingdom of this world and to start serving the kingdom of God. One day he will return and it will be violent and it will be by force, sadly. But right now is the opportunity. Now is the time. Everyone in this room, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, has heard the gospel proclaimed to them. Everyone in this room, I'm sure, I can't prove this, but I'm sure it happened. Someone prayed for you that there would be an opportunity for the gospel. Some of you might know that, have the story of who prayed for you, and you know that particularly. Some of you may have no idea what that might have been, but I am willing to bet when we get to heaven, God's going to reveal all the little details and the things that he did. And I think that you could think about the Great Commission, you know, Matthew 28, and there's other places where we see that same commission. This is almost like the Great Commission section of Colossians. We've had a lot of teaching, we've had a lot of theology. Now, guys, here's what I'm commissioning you to. Here's where I want you to go to work, to be a part of his kingdom building and what he's doing. Now, in my experience, a lot of times when I've heard messages about the gospel and evangelism, you know, I get this feeling of pressure and like feeling a little overwhelmed and like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. It's scary. It's like putting a lot of high stakes on me. But I believe that what we're getting here from Paul is something that's very accessible and doable. This is not as hard as, oh my goodness, this afternoon I've got to walk next door, knock on the door and say, you know, if you were to die tonight, where would you be? You know, if God were to, you know, it's like it doesn't have to be that. I think there's a place for that, and God might cause you and prompt you for that. But I think we're getting something simpler, more bite-sized, and some very practical approaches here that we can take to sharing the gospel, and I think have a huge impact. So please hear me. When I say simple and when I say easy, I don't mean low results. I think the impact can be gigantic if we're following what the Apostle Paul is sharing with us here. And just as a quick note, I want to get you thinking about this. When I come to at the end of the sermon, I want us to have, I'm hoping that I save enough time for this, I want us to have a time where we as a church can pray for some particular people. Okay, so maybe there's somebody that comes to mind for you that you'd like for us to pray for, that they would know and hear the gospel and turn to him. But I want to have that time, so be ready for that. Not everybody has to give me a name, but we're going to have a time where we're going to particularly pray for specific people. So, okay, let's jump into the passage. My first point, if you're taking notes, is I will steadfastly engage in the mission of God through, number one, kingdom-minded prayer. Kingdom-minded prayer. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak." And now I'm saying steadfast, kingdom-minded prayer, and I think there's three particular features of this prayer that he's calling us to, and I think each of those three features are kingdom-minded. When I say kingdom-minded, it's like I'm thinking about these two great conflicts of two different competing kingdoms. I'm praying at that level, is what he's saying. First of all, we are to be watchful in it. He's saying being watchful in it. And here this is in the Greek, it's this idea of I'm awake, I'm alert. You know, it's like the guard who's standing at the guard, entrance to the facility. It's the security guard that has all the monitors. He needs to stay awake and he needs to stay alert. What's happening? If he falls asleep in that job, you're failing at the job of being watchful. So think about it like in terms of like, I am a guard on watch maybe the enemy coming, it's a different thing, but it's kingdom level. And these are kingdoms that are at conflict, at odds. In fact, just to put it in context, you know, in James 4, it says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? You guys, we've all, small groups went through this. It's the passions and desires that wage war within. Why do I fight? It's because I want something, you want something, you know, and it's like clash. It's coming out of who I am. And then he goes on to say, you cannot be a friend of God and a friend of the world. He puts it very starkly. You are either on team God or you are on team world. Those are your choices. And I think one of the tricks that Satan does to us is he tricks us into thinking that there's such a thing as a sideline kind of position. Or I'm, you know, think about a race car race. I'm in the pit stop right now. You know, it's no. You are either in God's team or I am in the world's team. Those are where I stand. There's no such thing as straddling between the two. I'm either assisting and working what the world is trying to accomplish, or I'm assisting and working on what God is trying to accomplish. And please hear me. I don't believe that we all need to drop everything we're doing and become a missionary or just, you know, become a street evangelist. No, God's called you and he's got you in a place. He's got you in a neighborhood. I mean, these are all things that he's working. It's just, I need to be watchful in what he's doing. So watchful is the first idea. And watchful is always talked about in two different ways throughout Scripture in the New Testament. Two different categories. First of all, it's talking about his second coming. So watchful for his second coming. And then spiritual warfare. And again, it's like watchful for good team good, team God, watchful for team bad. I got a couple of verses. Matthew 24:42, he says, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Jesus had just said, no one knows the day or the hour. Therefore, stay awake. Be watchful for when he's coming. And then in spiritual warfare category, I've got a couple of verses. Matthew 26, starting at verse 38. And this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. So this is the night before he goes to the cross. Remain here and watch with me. That's the word here. Skipping down a little bit. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. So they're not watching. They're asleep at the wheel. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watchfulness is what he's calling them to. 1 Peter 5:8 so vividly gives us this. He says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. So the devil is watchful. He's very watchful. Who can I devour? If you've ever watched lions on the prey, you know, in like some of the nature shows, who are they going after? They're going after someone that's weak and falling out of the herd, wanders off. You know, the herd protects one another. They don't, you know, lions aren't going for the hardest kill. They're going for the easiest kill because he's watching, looking for someone to devour. Watchful prayer is the opposite of that. Looking for someone that's vulnerable and then praying against all that. Like it's a mindfulness of like, this is how God, Satan is working in the world, and I might see this, the influence of that in someone's life, and I want to pray against that. So when you think about these two kingdoms clashing behind the scenes where we can't see it because it's a world that's out of our visual, you know, sometimes we can see it. Sometimes God does give us insight into it. We are praying into that world and mindful of what's happening. So watchful prayer. I'm joining his kingdom work through watchful prayer. Second, he talks about being thankful, thankfulness. And thankfulness is, the reality is, I mean, no matter who you are, where you are, what your circumstances are, what has happened to you, there is always things to be thankful for. always. And he's commanding us to be mindful of that, to be thankful for it. Think about the garden where God gave everything they needed. Everything they needed was given to them, and it was given them in such a way that it's like, this is all going to be awesome and easy and trouble-free and wonderful and joyous. And yet there's one thing they don't have. You know, if anybody in history, human history, had more to be thankful for, it had to have been Adam and Eve before the fall. There was only one little thing they couldn't have, and that's where their eyes were focused. Thankfulness does such a great job of bringing us off of what we don't have, where we're limited to what God has given us and what we do have. God has given you everything you need right now for where he's called you to right now. And it might be really small and insignificant, but it is something to be thankful for. And Satan is stepping right in to say, you don't have that. You should have that. What's missing is this. That is spiritual warfare right there. Thankfulness is, when we're thanking God, we are operating at the cosmic spiritual level. It is awesome. And then finally, the third part of this prayer needs to be evangelistic. Verses 3 and 4. At the same time, pray also for us. Here's a prayer request from the Apostle Paul. Kind of cool. That God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. You know, this might be, maybe, the most neglected yet most powerful tool we have in the work of evangelism, in the work of the Great Commission. I believe that declaring the gospel, he's saying, I need a door opened so that I can proclaim the mystery of Christ. And this whole passage is, I think, a total expansion and callback to what the Apostle Paul says at the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, where he talks about his mission. He talks about how he's like singularly focused on it, how much he's straining for it so that he can proclaim the mystery of Christ and all that that means. And here we have a similar condensed down prayer request version of all of that. And again, I believe this is a prayer that God will answer. It's, Lord, open a door that I can share the gospel with this person. Lord, open a door that the mystery of Christ could be revealed to this person. I believe that he will answer that. And I have seen it in my life. I want to share a couple of really cool stories along those lines. Way back when our kids were little, before I was a pastor, Christy and I were a part of a small group. And as a small group, we decided we want to start obeying this prayer and start faithfully praying for particular people. Like people that God laid in our hearts. And it was a great idea, so I'll throw this out if anybody else would like to do this, but we took little note cards. Every single person had a note card, and every person wrote the name of an individual on that card, and they passed the card and wrote the same name. So eventually, everybody in the group had a card with all the names on it, and we could just start, let's just start praying for them. That's what we're going to do, start praying for them. There were two ladies in that group. My wife was one of them, who had little kids, and my wife, I'd shared, you know, had so much health issues for several years that, and she and this other lady were like, I don't even know a name that I could put on this list that I could share the gospel with. You know, because again, we're asking, Lord, would you give us an opportunity to share the gospel? And because she's in her house all day, every day, and has been sick for so long, it's like there were people that she was interacting with that were not believers. And so Christy and this other lady said, well, I don't have a name. And so then as a group, we're like, all right, well, let's pray that you can get a name. Like, we'll start there. And wouldn't you know it, it was actually those two ladies, my wife and the other lady, that were actually the first to be given an opportunity to share the gospel in that entire group. It was pretty cool. God will answer this prayer. The other thing that was an amazing story for us is that when we moved to Ashburn, we were working on planning our church, I did a ton of prayer walking. Christy and I were praying for our neighborhood. We did a number of things to reach out to our neighborhood. But just praying for our neighborhood, praying for the people around us. Just pray over and over and over. And I want to highlight this one because God is working in people's lives in ways that you have no control over or no clue about. You know, like we can come up with ideas and strategies and, you know, hey, that's good, do that. But he's also working in things you can't, you don't, I mean, it's like, it's impossible. You know, I think about Philip and the Ethiopian guy. You know, it's like God does the, you know, Star Trek thing and like beams Philip to you know, like share the gospel with him. It's wild. You know, I imagine the apostles were up, you know, in some room like trying to get a strategy for how do we take the gospel to the world. And I guarantee you that idea was not on the whiteboard. Right? I mean, it's like nobody would have thought of that. So God is working in ways you have no idea. It's like you might see a neighbor or a friend or a family member or a friend, you know, who knows? And you might think, this is too impossible. I can't think of a way. Well, okay, that's fine. God can. He can do incredible things. So anyway, there was this couple in our neighborhood and like super cool, like the coolest people ever. They look like models and like totally amazing, like in every way from a worldly standpoint, you know what I mean? And we talked to them a couple times, super hardened, like no way. Like there's not even anything close to an opportunity to share the gospel with this couple. And anyway, like one thing led to another. One of our daughters got an opportunity to babysit for them. And so here and there, but like we knew their names, they knew our names, but there really wasn't any kind of relationship. So one evening, and it was later, it was like, I want to say like 9 p.m. at night, the lady called us and said, your daughter said that you're a pastor, and I need somebody to talk to. And it's like, okay, come over. So Kristen, I were talking to her. She's in our room. It's like getting after 9, close to 10. And she shared with us, and this is after hearing about like how hardened, like don't even touch that kind of conversation. That was the vibe and the actual way they talked to us. She shared with us how she couldn't sleep because every single night when she began to close her eyes, she was just wrecked with a fear about what happens to my kids if they die. What happens to me if I die? What happens to my husband if I die? And she, like, she was just beside herself with just deep fear of that. I mean, you know, we didn't do anything. It was just God was like, I'm going to do this work in this person's life and then bring her to you. And I often think about it because I coached a lot of softball at that time. I thought about it. It's like I'm the coach that's, you know, putting the ball on the tee and the kid just swings. It's like that's the way God gave us. It's just like God brought, God's like, here's the bat, here's the tee, here's the ball, swing away. It was as easy as that. It was totally God working in a way that we just couldn't have ever planned or imagined. He did it. And praise God, she accepted Jesus, and she is still walking with the Lord. And it was just absolutely an incredible thing. God is at work. He is absolutely at work, and he calls us to be in prayer about it. Like, pray that the Lord would open a door, that the gospel could be proclaimed. That's it. That's the prayer. And then the second and final point, I will steadfastly engage in the mission of God through kingdom-minded words and deeds. And just look at what he says in verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Two things he talks about. Wise actions, gracious speech. Like all of my actions, he says, always in all of my speech, gracious. Wisdom about how I'm interacting with outsiders. And outsiders here means it's people that don't know Jesus. They're outside the body of Christ. Walking in wisdom, he defines it, making the best use of the time. I don't have eternity. There are going to be opportunities where I'm going to just brush by somebody. You know, you've got somebody that you're living next to. There's going to be opportunities, and there's not going to be opportunities. So I need to make the best use of the time that God's given me. Here's what he's given me. And I love all of that because, you know, you think about sometimes we can pick our neighbors, but most of the time we don't pick our neighbors. Sometimes we can, you know, pick our coworkers, but most of the time I don't know that we pick our coworkers. And we don't get to pick the time. All those things were given to us. So I think another really powerful and great thing for us to do is to think about God's sovereignty over place and time. He picked the spot for you. He picked the time for you. And that's your opportunity. Don't feel any pressure on that. He's planned that. But I'm going to use the best. I'm going to use it for the best. Be wise in it. And a number of years ago, when I was a youth pastor, I did an activity with the kids in our youth group where I had them make a map. We got all kinds of, you know, crafty stuff, and this would be a good thing for kids too. You guys could do with your kids. And we made a crafty, kind of colorful map of, had them make a map of their neighborhood. So, and what I said is, I want you to put the five closest neighbors on this map, like your house in the middle, five closest neighbors, and if you can, put their names in there, something significant about them, just those two things, their name and something significant about them. And I said, and if it's a question mark, you know, we'll try to figure out what that name is. And then I had them take that home and just start praying for those people. And I remember there was this one girl, like I had them, like after they spent time making their maps, she brought up to share about the map. And she had these houses that were close to her. And then she had taken a piece of paper and made a big extension off of hers and put a house over here. And she said, it's over the creek and over there. And, you know, I think she was maybe a 15-year-old girl. And she said, it's an older couple. Their kids have moved out, but their youngest son is a Marine, and he's in Afghanistan. So names, significant thing. How significant is it if your child is in a war zone? Your youngest child is in a war zone. How significant of a fact is that? Wow, that's a big deal. God knows that detail. And you know who else does? This 15-year-old girl that lives down the way. And it's just, I was just hit by, like, as a pastor, I'm trying to, you know, move and manipulate and work and try to get people to do stuff. And it's like, but God is working in ways that I'm totally clueless about. You know, just think about the sovereignty of God, of where he has put you, the neighbors that he has put around you, it's just like, those are all things, I have no clue about any of that. But you do, and so does God. You're his plan. You are his plan. And I want to give you guys an idea that I've stumbled across that I would love to encourage anybody who wants to join me in this idea. And it is this app called the Bless app. And I've got it up on the screen, hopefully soon here. You can go to the code that's on there and you can download it. They've got an Android version. They got an iPhone version of it. BLESS is an acronym. I'll walk through that in a second. But it's basically a tool that gives you daily prompts to pray for people that are right around you. And it uses public data to, when you put in your home address, you know, like there's public information about who owns what property, and it pulls in those names. And so you can just start praying for those people. And I think it pulls the closest 50 around you, and then every day it'll say, here's five to pray for. And then it's got some other things where you can, little prompts to be thinking, and that's where the acronym BLESS comes from, and I'll walk through that. And again, I feel like this is such an easy, like, step to take as a church, where we're trusting God's work, and then we're just taking ownership of where he's put us and where he's called us to be faithful. And so BLESS stands for, B is to begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. And again, you're going to get like a five names. You're going to see their names. You might know that, oh, actually that name's wrong, and you could change it. And all that information you put in is just for you. But it gives you the opportunity, like, oh, yeah, they live right there, and that's their name. Oh, yeah, I forgot their names. That's their names. You can add a little note and a prayer request for yourself so that when it comes back up, you can pray for them. And then it gives you, like, and I love this because it's so helpful for me, is a little reminder, the little ding that helps me to, yeah. And then I love just the, you know, the gamification of, like, prayed, ding. You know, it's like, prayed, ding, you know, and then it's like adding up all those prayers. It's so great. I love that. For me, it may not work for you. Use a piece of paper. I mean, you do what works great for you. I like this kind of stuff. I think it's fun. Number one, B, begin with prayer. L is listen. Listen. You know, the passage told us to be wise in our actions. Proverbs 18:13 says, if one gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame. And I think we put way too much pressure on ourselves of, I got to, like, do the whole apologetics argument to convince this person of the gospel, and you might be just totally talking past them. Start by listening. Like, tell me your story. Tell me, you know, some big things in your life and things that have happened, and you're just listening. And then out of that, you might hear some things, and it's like, wow, that, you know what, that lines up with me. Or, and then just to inform you and in how you can eventually share the gospel with that person. Listen, be wise. E is eat. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty faithful about that one. I eat regularly. You're going to eat 21 times a week. There's a lot of opportunities to sit down with somebody and think about, how can we have somebody over? Just let's bring the neighbors over. Let's have a meal. It doesn't have to be a big grand thing. Just, we're going to get together, eat. There's a power in that, be able to share. S is serve. Serve. Be a blessing to them. And I love how in Genesis, when God gives his promise to Isaac, that I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. Right after that, it talks about this conflict that Isaac had with Abimelech. And Isaac and his men would dig a well, and then Abimelech would come and take the well. And rather than fighting about that, Isaac was just like, there you go. I did all this work, super hard work. Everybody needs water. You need water? Great. I think Isaac is like, I'm blessing the world. I am blessing the world, just like God said. You know, think about, like, how can I make this neighborhood better? How can I make life easier and better for my neighbor? It doesn't matter how they're treating me. They might be horrible. That's real. It's like, I'm going to serve them. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to, right now, today, let that promise be true, that I am a blessing to the world. Serve them. And I think this also connects well with the, you know, one of the requirements in 1 Timothy 3 for elders is that they have a good reputation in the community. Like, how do I, as a Christian, control what a non-Christian thinks about me? Well, yeah, there's some things I can't control, but there's a lot of things I can control. I mean, I think everybody in this room has a good idea of how to be a bad neighbor. And, you know, it's like, oh, they don't like, I've heard Christians say that kind of thing, like, oh, they don't like me because I'm a Christian. I'm thinking, oh. Well, I think it's you. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, it's like, bless the people around you. Be helpful to them. And then finally, the final S is story. And that's where it's like, I'm looking to share what God's done in my life. I want to share what God has done in my life with you. So bless. And it's kind of cool in this app. You can, like, oh, we ate with them. Dink. You know, count. Dink, dink, dink. You know, so I don't know. I'm into that stuff. You might think it's a little creepy that other people's names are in there. I'm okay with that because it's all public information. Anybody can get all this information online. But I found it really, really helpful. And one of the things I just want to encourage you guys with, in, I mean, he is saying here, continue steadfastly. On account I am in prison. Like, this is his life. Make best use of the time that's given to you. Like, feel some urgency and some, you know, like, let's do this. Let's be steadfast in this kind of prayer. And then I'd love to hear the stories when it happened. Like, God did this. God opened this door. Now, it's not our job to convert them. I think it's our job just to share the gospel. That's our job. He's going to work in their heart in ways that you can't. But that's the win. The win is, I shared the gospel. and the Lord opened the door. Church, let's go for it. How about this summer? Let's maybe think about through August, or and maybe keep going, Lord willing, but let's just start faithfully praying for the people that are right around us. So let me go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll have a prayer time together. Father, we thank you that you make it possible for all these things. Lord, that you are at work. And Jesus, we do just acknowledge that every single person in this room, there was a door that was opened, and the gospel was proclaimed, and then we believed. And you and other people were at work in our lives, and you are calling us to be a part of that, to join in that work to the people around us. And Lord, I pray that there would not be a burden that is a unhealthy guilt or shame, but just a faithfulness, Lord, and an eagerness to where you've put us. Lord, you are sovereign over our spot and location, where we live, where we work, who we're rubbing elbows with. That's you. And God, you are also sovereign over the time. And so we trust you with that, and we pray that you would build your kingdom, and that, Lord, you would open doors. So in Jesus' name I pray, amen.